I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, it's a huge day today. JT, you know, I've already covered all the changes that have been announced, but it's turning our attention right now to the Warriors. And JT, how are you? I feel very, very privileged to speak to you twice in one day. Working in isolation, you and I haven't really caught up with each other too much over the past couple of months, and this is a privilege, my friend. And I get to see your hairy chest once again. I mean, I could literally just stare at that all day.
Mate, it's the I can't grow the ISO beard, so I can grow the ISO chest hair. It's about as good as I can get. But yeah, nice to see you for the second time again, mate. The good old Warriors, hey, I've been looking forward to this one. Everyone's second favourite team, so let's get into it.
Let's go on, Warriors. And to help us get through that preview, we've got a very special guest on tonight. You may know him from Twitter, and I think if we put a question to him, what would you prefer more out of a Twitter blue tick or Warriors premiership? I think he might be hard-pressed to select that one. Anton, how are you going, my friend?
I'm very well, mate. Lovely to be on the pod for the first time.
Oh, just that Kiwi accent, it really just brings a tear to your eye.
Yeah, yeah.
This is 13 years in Australia too, he mentioned off air. I figured surely by now you'd be giving us a mate and a hey yarn. But
no choice, hey bro. Choice, bro. Hey bro.
Yeah, that's it. We'll walk with that.
Fish and chips, hey bro. No, that's all right. We've got plenty of stuff coming up. Don't you worry about that. Welcome to the podcast.
Anton, get your brother out of the room.
Wait, we've got control already. What's going on?
We haven't even started, mate. So, Anton, maybe... do you want to maybe just intro yourself a little bit and, you know, shout out of your Twitter handle and kind of how you got into Supercoach and just all that good stuff?
Yeah, sure. So I've been playing Supercoach for, it's over a decade now. Been in Sydney for about 13 years coming from NZ, and kind of fell really hard into the rugby league world and Supercoach world, just being with so many football teams in Sydney and so many games to go to and so many football stadiums that I'd seen on the telly back home and never had a chance to go and visit. So from there, it was, you know, kind of found the site as well. On the site, you might have seen my name, Hydro Kosene, floating around. So that's the handle I've been using there. He's kind of like my spirit warrior from the 1995 team, kind of all knees and elbows and mullet. You know, strong leg drive and just all, you know, kind of no nonsense.
I might just get you to repeat that name for me as well, because that was beautiful.
Hydro Okasene.
Yeah. If you were to say that in Australian for us to understand.
Hydro Okasene.
Yeah. Oh, we got raps on the podcast here.
Yeah. Oh, Hydro Okasene's through. Yeah. That's the thing. It hasn't been for us, you got to say, but it's wrong.
Oh, fantastic. No, sorry, I cut you off there. Keep going. Apologies.
Yeah, no. So without, you know, kind of laboring the whole point too much, just you know, I've always kind of really enjoyed the site, and then I got onto Twitter and completely lost all control of sort of keeping opinions to myself. And if you spot me on there, I'm generally talking about either Supercoach or the Warriors, and you know, their many ups and downs, and my mood swings generally reflect that sentiment on any given day. But yeah, it's good times, and it's nice to team up with people that like to talk about the game and like to discuss Supercoach and like sort of commiserate together over our many mistakes that we'll inevitably make.
Well, just talk to JT about mistakes. He's made quite a few.
It's a new season, mate. Michael Morgan's fresh off shoulder surgery. He's going to be fired up, ready to go. I stand by that.
Well, something we have just started is a new segment on the podcast, Anton. I'm not sure if you heard the Parramatta Eels one that we did on the weekend with Supercoach regular Supercoach Talk regular Andrew or Carlos, and that kind of went over quite well. He actually took it like a champion as well, so I hope you do now as well. It's called the Hospital Pass, where we ask you 5 questions to get to know you a little bit better. And just saw the Brazilian in the background as well, JT, just walking around, floating around as well. Just tell us she was on the podcast. It's all big cam right now. It's going to be on YouTube tonight. But, yeah, let's get into the hospital pass. So JT and I are going to ask you 5 questions basically to get you get to know you a little bit better, and just yes or no answer, or answer the name. No flirting around, not trying to come back at the host or any of that kind of funny business. Just answer the question. You ready?
Hit me, bro.
Okay, so one night in a hotel suite, Jacinda Ardern or Richie McCaw?
Richie.
Thought so. Which, I don't know. Well, JT, you got a bit of a look on you. You're a little bit, it took you by a bit of a surprise?
No, not really. I mean, I could understand kind of Dan Carter. Not that I know much about rugby union, but I thought he was the pin-up boy. Might be a bit too...
Yeah, it's probably just doesn't play by the rules, you know. So safe words might be out, you know. So,
well, mate, this is a purely dominatrix submissive honeymoon suite as well, right? So, Richie McCaw or Dan Carter?
Nah, still Richie. I reckon he's got the stamina to go all the way. So. I might only be in this suite once. You know, I'm gonna raid the minibar, and I'm gonna make him work for every minute he's in there.
It's a long honeymoon.
He's very good at the breakdown, mate, and getting his head in there as well. He's pretty good at it. So question number 2, you have to watch one game, or you die. You have a choice out of the Warriors versus Manly in the 2011 Grand Final, or the All Blacks versus France in the 1999 Rugby World Cup semi-final.
Oh.
And you can't pause. You have to watch the whole thing.
Oh, I'm going to watch the Warriors-Manly game, but only because I was at that game and I was on the sideline where the Wolfman was basically just running down the whole time, and I was just thinking, like, I can't believe I'm sitting here watching this. We're finally here. I'm finally here, and I'm seeing it happen in front of me like this. I couldn't believe it. I probably watched that one, you know, just because it's nice to be reminded of the pain, you know, because it makes the victory taste fresher when it finally comes. You know, we might, you know, not be able to see by that stage, but we live in hope.
I thought that was a really easy question, Wenham, because it's a union versus a league game. Surely you choose the league game.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that 1999 World Cup loss for the All Blacks. That was the year they hadn't won a World Cup previous to that, and they were built up. That was going to be the year. Coming against a very unpredictable French side, but they never really achieved anything either, and that was meant to be just a walkover. But alas, the Kiwis got rolled. So I do enjoy watching that game, actually. It's one of the top sporting moments, I think, of my life. I just remember coming, say, up and watching that game, or early in the morning, I remember seeing that and just going, this is hilarious. Yeah, this is awesome.
Schadenfreude going on there.
All right, question number 3, JT, and I'll let you take this one.
Yet again, not prepared. I mean, I had one. So... you have to greet everyone you meet for the very first time with either a 5-second haka or by going,
That's wild. I'm gonna go with the sheep noises because I've got an 8-month-old baby and I'm doing them anyway every day. So this is just a continuation of my ongoing narrative of, welcome to the farmyard. So I'm going to go that way.
It's probably a good segue into the story you told us off air just before about who you are or what you're now known by in amongst the CEO community that you deal with and all of that, courtesy of your Zoom call name. Do you want to share that one?
Yeah, Mr. Poobum. Yeah, I forgot to change my setting. I was looking around with some mates with some new software and then went into a big meeting and was announced as Mr. Poobum to 32 people. So, I would have gone with Hydrocasini if I had my time again, but... Mr. Poobum it is, and that will stick as well.
All right. Question number four, and another perfect segue here. Give us a haka.
Absolutely not. Cannot do
you
that.
You have a choice. You got to do it.
I cannot do that. I'll be like the Prime Minister who took his shirt off when we won the America's Cup and never lived it down. Like he's, I just can't do it, I'm afraid. And, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave the listeners hanging.
If you ever Google very first ever union haka or something like that, it's about the 1960s or 70s, and it's the
that's hilarious,
and it's one of the worst things you've ever seen in your life. It's a bunch of like white men standing around dancing. It's basically, if I tried to do a haka, this is what it would be. So yeah. Strong recommendation to Google that.
It's like real life Pinocchio when you see it, like little wooden men. It's crazy.
It's hilarious. I think that's what, the same as the Australians, it would have been the 70s or the 80s, they decided they were going to put together their own retaliation dance. I don't know if you've seen that as well. It is hilarious. Just YouTube that. That is fantastic.
Awesome.
They did it once, never again. Final question. What is the real NZ anthem? God Save NZ or A Slice of Heaven by Dave Dobbins?
I think everyone knows the words to Slice of Heaven. I think, you know, I mean, everyone's pretty good with the national anthem these days, but I think if you go into a pub in London, I mean, not now, there's no one in it, but if you went to a pub in London and you played that song, you probably have more people just impromptu singing that one. I'm going to go Dave Dobbin.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's what we thought as well. All right, so let's move on to the next segment here, which is all about you taking the piss out of us a little bit. We've just had a bit of fun with you. It's called You Say Tomatoes, I Say Tomatoes. Everyone knows that JT and I struggle at the very best of times announcing the Polynesian names or some of the more Maori-style names. We're not very good at it, and we do have an expert on the podcast tonight who has very kindly selected five names of players, current, past, whatever. And what he's going to basically do is throw it to JT and I to try and give it a good crack, and then he's going to pronounce it how it should be said. I'm really looking forward to that. You're going to keep score. It's going to see who's the best at the end of it between JT and I. I'm putting a stake down, JT, that I'm going to beat you here.
Oh, that's a bit controversial. Is this judge really impartial? You were off air for a little while before I joined.
Oh, I don't think I've got a chance, mate. So, and also, there's no restaurants open at the moment as well. So,
they're cool.
Yep. All right, Anton, hand over to you, mate. What's the first name here?
Okay, well, I can't say his name because that'll give it away, but I can tell you he is a centre that has played for New Zealand, and he plays for the Panthers. You guys have got the name right in front of you, so why don't you guys just give it a crack one by one, and we'll see who does the best.
Over to you, JT.
Dean Vare.
Are you French or something?
It's a WH, right? Gotta say V.
Okay, well, I think it's Dean Farre.
I gotta give it to Josh.
Fucking yeah!
Righto.
1-0, champ. All right.
So Fare. It is as simple as Farre.
So Fare. Loses Fare. Loses kick.
Say it. So it's
so,
a
say it again.
It's at the beginning. So like a WH is a F sound in Māori. So, and Z, it's R. Yeah, so the R is like a R. So. Fare. It means Fare. House in Māori. Yeah.
I'm sure that's exactly
how he got his nickname House, because that's what his name is.
I'm hearing the way that I said it exactly repeated into my ear. So anyway, take you 1-0. Cheap win.
Whatever. Oh, you can do the next one, mate, because you lost. So you can try and get this next one right. Number two.
Brad Takairangi. No, nah, sorry. Can I do that again? I didn't mean to add a bit of phlegm caught in there. Takairangi.
Not bad. Brad Takairangi.
I got to give that to JT.
Thank you.
Takairangi.
If you were to grade us on that, though, where are we, 1 to 10?
That's pretty good, man. That was pretty good. Like, the main thing with, like, Māori names, and those two are both Māori names, is the vowel sounds. A, E, I, O, and U are pronounced R, E, E, or U. Everything else is phonetic. All the other letters are exactly the same as English. That's all you need to know.
Did I nail the Brad part of that name?
Yeah, the Brad part was pretty good as well. Okay. You don't get bonus points for Brad, though, I'm afraid.
Let's move on to number three, and I'll go first because I got that one wrong. Now, a question before we do try and pronounce this one. it's a very European starting first name. Is that common, or is this just something that you wouldn't normally see?
Well, there's a lot of Christian names in the islands. They're very, like, highly Christian in those places. So a lot of the names have been adapted to sort of like a Polynesian pronunciation. So you'll often see names like that, you know, popping up.
All right, here we go. Stefano Utoi Kamunu.
Oh, mate, even I know that's bad. Stefano Utoi Kamunu.
Shit, that's pretty good, JT. I've got to give you that one, bro.
That's because I heard Milgate on the last pod nail that. I don't know if he did nail it. It just sounded really good, though. If you say it quickly,
And I was going to give him a shout out today over Twitter and go, "Oh, you nailed it, bro." But then I was like, "Oh no, no, it's going to tip them off."
All right, how does it go?
That's the one. Utoi Kamunu.
Utoi Kamunu. And what about Stefano?
Yes, it's Stefano.
Stefano.
Stefano. R-A-E-O-U. So the
O. Stefano.
Yep, Stefano. Okay, Utoi Kamunu.
Utoi Kamunu.
Oh, now the next one's going to be a fun one.
Oh, well, I'm going again because I lost it. So JG's up 2-1. Fuck. Celestino. Ravu Tau Madara.
You didn't need to add the extra DA there, mate. It's Celestino Ravutamada.
Mate, that's pretty good, JT. That's pretty good, man. Celestino Ravutamada.
So I'm not, disgracing a culture here.
I'm waving the white flag. It's out.
Maybe we go all or nothing.
Oh, we haven't even got to the big one.
Yep, this is all or nothing, winning. This is take it. Winner takes all.
So, well, Antoine, how do you pronounce number four?
Hang on, where are we? Celestino Ravutamada.
Just sounds so good. Like, people say, like, if you like French or, you know, anything like that, it just sounds sexy. But I don't know. These Polynesian names, when they come off the tongue correctly, I don't know. It just makes you feel good.
I'll tell you
who's
actually pretty good is Votti. He makes a bit of a.
He is good.
He actually makes a real. He doesn't always nail it, but he makes a real effort to just try and get as many right as he can. The funniest thing is New Zealand's got Halligan. So all the Sky Sports games, Halligan just doesn't even try. He just calls RTS like, "Here comes Sheck." He'll lose out just like half of his name just because he just can't be bothered. It's just too hard.
Well, when Foss got exiled from Channel 9 after getting into a biff, I think, with Hadley, and got sent to the state competition, that's probably where he spent a lot of his time practicing those names. Or maybe it was as a main commentator on Rugby League Live.
Maybe.
I don't know. But he's certainly very good at it. He's a very talented guy. All right, number five. JT, you're going first here.
Cool.
Have a crack. Okay.
So Tino F, I believe, as he's now known in amongst Supercoach and NRL circles.
Is that your answer?
No, winner takes all. Tino Fasumalawi. Yep. No clue. Anton's laughing face.
I'm not giving anything away. Right? Like the whole idea of like this video conference thing is just like, you know, it's really showing my cards.
It's a constant shake in the head. That was good. All right. A bit of order now.
He's left the door open. Right?
All right. Ready to go? Tino Fa'asumalali.
Shit. I'm going to give that one to Josh just because of the apostrophe. Just because of the apostrophe there.
What does that mean? Is that like a
Fa'asumalali? It's just a break. It's a break. So, Fa'asumalawi.
It sounds so good.
I don't think we're ever going to be able to learn.
It'd sound better if you signed for the freaking Warriors instead of doing a backflip and going to the Gold Coast.
Before we move off of pronunciations, what's your number one gripe when you hear Anglo-Australian commentators say a name and just butcher it constantly? Who's the number one? If you could get them to say it right.
Oh, I reckon the games that are the hardest. And I don't get angry about it and get like throwing the remote control because I actually live in Australia where you hear people mispronouncing things all the time. So it's kind of like when it's really bad, it's almost funny. It's almost like, wow, you know, like the worst ones, I think, are Braith and Asta and Roach when they're together. They are just like, it's almost like an 80s wrestling tag team where they'll just like helicopter the name and throw it out of the ring, and like they'll ring the bell and call the fight off because it's just like not fair what they're doing to it. They're messing it right up.
Oh, helicopter the name out of the ring. That's brilliant. But I was going to say, Jordan Rapana. So everyone came out, it was Rapana for years and years, and then I think his mum or something told one of the commentators, no, it's Rapana. Something different.
There's a little macron over the A that's supposed to be there, which means the sound trap. Anyway, whatever. This isn't a linguistic lesson. We're talking super coaching.
All right. Well, I think, JT, you and I have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to get Tino F right. So I reckon we just cut our losses there.
No, Brad T, Dean W, Stefano U. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
There's no other Stefanos, really. Mm. So you can just call him Stefano. He can be like Ronaldo, you know.
Yeah.
Don't need to. Madonna.
Tino. It's not other Tino. Exactly.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Okay.
All right, it is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Warriors. And probably no better place to start than in the front row or in the cheapy division for the Warriors. And Anton, I might hand over to you. You and I were talking a little bit earlier today about who the good were, and we're both pretty much in agreement on these two guys. Who do you prefer out of them? And I'll just get you to talk through both of them, if that's all right.
Yeah, so Eliasa Katoa, he's obviously a bottom dollar cheapie, available only in the second row. He kind of came out of nowhere in the trials and really stood up. He's only a young player, but what I noticed in the first two games was that, he looked like one of the only guys who was going to bust a tackle and really make an indent in that line, easily our best forward, and that's saying something. There's a bit of experience in that pack, but with the injuries, the Bunty Afoa, a boy, Fry, Ignatius Parsi, they were looking for someone to give them that kind of little bit of an edge, and a couple of guys got their start. The other guy is young Manny or Tonoa Brown. So he came across from Melbourne and was part of the development squad, I believe, or the broader squad. They upgraded his contract after all of the injuries. And so in the preseason, we had these two names that a lot of people weren't familiar with. Even Warriors fans weren't really that familiar. So it was, I suppose the main question for everyone was, what's the job security like? What happens when all these guys come back? How do they move the chairs around? What's happening with Adam Blair? He was on the edge last year, but we know he can play prop. No one really likes him, but you got to put him somewhere. What's happening for Jazz Hands when he comes back? Is he going to go straight back into lock? Is he going to play utility? So there are heaps of questions, but I kind of went on the old eye test. With Supercoach, I'm more of like a gut feel eye test sort of guy if I'm not sure. So I actually went for both of them because I thought I didn't see a pandemic coming for starters. And I thought that if we got six weeks, you know, out of JTB, then that'd be plenty. If he could just average 40 plus, then I'd take that. Same with Rudolph, who I also had on my on the bench up front. So I took both of those guys, and after two rounds, I was pretty happy.
Yeah, I agree. I've got a Katoa in my side, 51 average, 180, a little bit below that 1,000, and a 58 minutes per game. I mean, you did rattle off a couple of names there of players that could, decrease those minutes a little bit over the coming weeks when we do restart on May 28. But I think out of the two of them, he seems like probably the most likely option to really kick on. He looked really dangerous on that edge. You've got Tavanga as more a middle player rather than edge. So I think he'll probably could impact Tunua Brown just a little bit more. But, I really liked what I saw from Katoa. He's big size, very athletic guy, running ball player as well. JT, what about you?
Yeah, I'm a Katoa owner as well. I really liked what I saw from him at, almost bottom dollar there. You can't really argue. But I guess the biggest question for me coming back with this five trade, super trade round that we're getting, JTB minus 28 break even. Anton, if you didn't own him, are you busting your gut to get him in?
No, well, I don't actually have him in my Warriors returning 17. I actually don't have him in my squad. So I if I'm looking at the players that have returned, Isaiah Papali'i is now a middle. He looks like he's wearing a sweatshirt underneath his football jersey a lot of the time. In the nines, I wasn't even sure who it was. I was like, who's that guy? So he's really stocked up for that middle role. And it looks like he's probably going to rotate, through that lock position next to Jazz. So, the only other guy who was going to threaten, on that edge spot in the preseason, I was kind of looking out for Curran, to make a bit of a play for that edge spot, but then he got injured as well. So, for JTB, I don't know. I kind of think that say he doesn't get that spot and he drops out of the squad altogether. For me, that's not a bad thing because I don't actually have a non-playing reserve in my team. So I think the moment he makes a bench, he's gonna make cash for you. But in the meantime, I'm quite happy for him to just be sitting on a two-game 40-plus average, waiting for that first price rise. And I think I'll just save the trade when it comes to him, and I'll be quite happy for that to happen. Because, I don't know who you trade him to, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's a fair call, 171K, bottom dollar, unless there's another cheapie on the horizon in that front row spot that you don't already have. As you said, is it really worth burning the trade? So he's definitely caught the eye, I guess, with that break even. So interesting that you don't reckon he'll make the team when they come back. That's the beauty of this massive spell we've got. So all of a sudden, guys like Jazz Hands and all that who were injured and now basically right to go. So any planning you had initially to start the season's basically been wiped. So what do we do?
Well, the Fox Sports website at the moment has Lisa Namau and also Lachlan Burr starting in the front row is their predicted side, and then JTB at number 17. So, and what you've got a utility on the bench. They've also got Nathaniel Roach, who knows if he's going to make it, and also Tavanga as well. So a bit of minutes, but I think what JT was getting to, you kind of really want to be focusing on those guys that are going to be earning you a lot of cash. So if you don't own him at the moment, you might be better to go with someone else. If you don't, particularly if you don't own a Katoa, he's definitely the one you want to be jumping at. But I mean, it's a bit crazy, isn't it, about Anton, that the only two players we've got in here of our good are two rookies, and we're not even in any other year you'd be including RTS and Tolu Harris, who we're going to start talk about on the bad. What's going on with those two guys? They've really underperformed so far.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough one because, like, in the preseason they were talking about, let's be honest, I mean, the whole team was under a lot of pressure. There's a new owner of the club, this guy called Mark Richardson, who's the owner of a company called Ortex Industries, which has been funding a lot of New Zealand Rugby League for a long time, and he's a massive big fan, and he wants results and he wants a premiership. So as part of that, I think Steve Kearney and the raft of players that are off contract at the end of the season are basically on notice. So with that came a response that you know, they were going to throw the ball around a bit more, you know, and that was the whole kind of thought of putting Fusitura in the centres. And you've got these kind of more nimble second rowers that were going to pass the ball a bit more. Ignatius Pass, he's got a good offload on him. He was great in the nines a couple of years ago. So as a fan, you're going like, yeah, hook it to my veins. I can't wait for that. You know, razzle dazzle it, route smart. That's what I'm all about, baby. But it didn't happen, you know. And instead, they kind of play this plotty style. We're getting nothing from our creative players, Wade Egan, and also the kind of halves experiment. There's not much coming out of Blake Green. None of them have a kick on them, like a long kick, which means we often have to battle really hard out of our own half to get any kind of field position. And when what that means is you're getting your wider players and your creative players are just not in positions to score as many points. We've only scored one try, and it was a penalty try, and that's over two games. So no one has scored a legitimate try so far.
That is incredible. That is incredible.
Sometimes you've got to overlook a little bit of that, and obviously
just tell the source in the background. Just when she's shutting the door next time, maybe just do it a little bit quieter.
Yeah, professional podcast here. I don't know what she's thinking.
Quieter, please, Obrigada.
It's Obrigado if you're a bloke, mate. But thank you.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah,
not your time.
As a Warriors fan, if you're watching those games, obviously you're down, and it's not what you want to see. But you think back to that Knights game; it was played in an absolute slosh heap. The Titans game, they were umming and ahhing about whether they'd even keep the competition going. They were stuck in the middle of nowhere in the lead-up to the game. It was complete disarray. So if you're to look a bit more positively on it, can you write those games off, do you reckon, Anton? And are we going to see a resurgence of the Warriors when they come back? It was a tough start, but they've been given basically a right to get going again.
Yeah, it's a very tough start with all of the injuries and stuff that happened, and the new positions. You know, we've got a new young half who's, you know, trying to find his place in the team, Harris Tavita. And I think having a break is a good opportunity to kind of reset what was going wrong. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's ankle was injured as well in the Tigers trial. So for me, he looked like he was wasn't running quite as strongly as we've seen him last year, for example. So I think, you know, the club just needed him out there, and he was doing what he could, but he definitely didn't seem to have that explosive pace that we know him for. Now with the extended break, all of those players have had a chance to make themselves fit again, and also to kind of figure out what's working for them and what's not. So, you know, it's up to Kearney now to kind of like figure out how he's going to do this with the players at his disposal. And it's, you know, it remains to be seen. But with regards to, you know, who you choose, Harris, I think you can give a massive pass mark to. In a team that's like, you know, not threatened the line hardly at all and had hardly any attacking plays, you know, he's still averaged kind of, I think it was mid-50s. I'm just to check. Yes, it's something like that. So, you know, I think if we start to kick on and we start to, you know, create those attacking plays, he's going to be involved in a lot of that, as we've seen in previous seasons. And this is the first season that he's actually been completely fit since he's been at the Warriors. So, you know, that was widely publicized in the beginning and in the preseason. So I was in the preseason very hot on Harris. And I only got cold feet because I got cold feet about our prospects across the board. So, I think if you have him in your team, I don't think he's a sell straight away at that price, especially with Fifita going down. A lot of second rowers have underperformed in the opening rounds. You know, Murray's going to leak a whole bunch of cash. Like, there's probably a wait and see for John Bateman. There's a lot of players where, except for Tomalolo, there's probably a lot of players that you're kind of wanting to see a bit more from before you jump on, especially at that price.
Yeah, I don't know, with Harris, and I know that JT, you're quite keen on him in the preseason as well, but a guy that's averaging 52... You've got him. Well, it doesn't surprise me. 52 points per game, playing 80 minutes per game as well. I mean, I just think with the amount of trades we've got now, and some of us are going to have two trades per week until the end of the season, I don't think he'd be hanging on to these guys. I think he basically, for me, becomes a little bit irrelevant. I don't think the upside is there. I think what he's – the best case for him, he goes on to average 60 points per game for the year. And we want guys – like I would personally like to take a bit of a punt and say Lachlan – Fitz or something like that over Harris because of that pure upside and what we do need for that pod ability. So he's probably a player that I'm going to be looking to bypass. And yeah, RTS just looks like a guy that's been carrying the side for, particularly last year, but for a couple of years now. And overall, what do you think the impact has been of Sean Johnson moving on to the attacking stats of the Warriors, and in particular their super coach output as well? Because if you look at last year, only really had probably a RTS was fantastic for parts of the season, then he came home with a Tavanga going pretty big just purely from base stats with minutes. Does the absence of Johnson, is it really starting to now have an impact in some of these players, particularly if you look at Mamalo and also for Satua, who we're going to speak to in our ugly section? Is it all starting to come to fruition now?
Yeah, look, it was hard, the Johnson affair. Like, it was, I actually ran into him in the city last year and had a good chat to him about it. And he's still really kind of annoyed about how the whole thing played out. But in terms of Supercoach, I think it's had a massive effect. You know, he's one of those halves. Every team has to have a guy who's like who's able to create things. You know, Nikarima late last year had a really good crack. You know, they gave him quite a long spell to try and make that sort of position his. It's the same when he was at the Broncos. You know, they really wanted him to step into that role and make it his own, and he doesn't seem to realize that he's actually a really good, you know, like a utility player, and that's probably his best position, which leaves us in a tricky spot because Blake Green is also, you know, he's at the end of his career now. He's not going to break the line. You know, he's not one of those guys who are going to take you on and you're going to fall for it too many times. Yep. And then there's the distribution, the cutout passes and things like that. RTS is doing that. The halves don't seem to do that a lot. So, yeah, we're missing SJ for sure. And I think until we can sort our recruitment out and figure out a way to sign some of these players that just seem to keep turning us down all the time. you know, I think we're going to be having to get really creative in our forwards. That's basically what we're going to have to find a way to do. So, you know, that creates other super coach opportunities, you know, but just they're not the traditional ones where your wingers are generally going to be flopping over for 2-3 tries, or, you know, they're going to be getting under high balls and coming down with bombs and that type of thing, or chasing through on grubbers. It might be more you kind of offload close to the line, or line break assist close to the line, and then someone puts you over in the corner. But yeah, long-winded answer, but yeah, we miss Johnson.
Long-winded answer for a long-winded question, so I'm fine with that. Let's jump into the ugly now. Mamalo and Fusatua, both of those have massively underperformed this year. Fusatua has moved into the centres. Mamalo was fantastic last year, really had a breakout Supercoach season, just smacking out base. I don't have it in front of me, but I think he was averaging somewhere between mid-30s for base stats last year, which for a winger was fantastic. And Fusatua, we thought that a guy that, based last year of around about 23 to 25, and he's only producing 20 base points per game. So we all thought that move to the centres was going to see a little bit of increase in output, and it's actually done the opposite there. So they're the two guys in our ugly list. Anton, just interested in your take. What's going on with that? And is this just a product of a Warriors side that's struggling with attack at the moment, and just these guys can't get enough of the ball?
We're trying to. I think it's an effort to find something, to find someone who's got an element of attack that's going to trouble the defense without relying on the halves. This is going back to that point of, like, if you can't rely on your half to manufacture something, maybe if you bring some of these more skillful players further into the play and get them involved a bit more often, then you might be more likely to break that line. Fusatua is actually like a very skillful player. Some of the put downs that we'd seen in previous seasons and some of the aerial abilities, his short passing, he's actually a super gifted athlete. But I think the off season, I was surprised to see that he'd really bulked up. I think he was kind of coming in field and taking a lot of runs in the trials. I didn't see a lot of the a lot of the skills work so much, but he was kind of getting involved and taking more hit ups and things. And I think he's kind of lost what he was really good at, which was his finishing ability. And to have that on the wing, especially with the no tackle in the air kind of role this season, I thought that was a really smart play to leave him out there. But I'm not Steve Kearney, so I think, you know, the upside, I have him in my team currently. For a short period of time, I was willing to give him the extra week to see if that first week was an anomaly, but I just don't like him in that role. I think Herbert's a better centre. They could be warming the position, maybe for Beal, although I don't know why. But that's kind of, you know, I mean, when you're getting into that situation where you're discussing the merits of Jared Beal, you know your backline's in need of a bit of a boost. So they tried it. I think the experiment's not worked from an NRL or a super coach point of view. And I think with five trades on the menu, if you've got him in your team, I think he's got to be your first and second priority to get rid of at that price.
Because, I mean, JT, you're a gambler. You're a guy that likes to take risks here and there. If you can't catch you on the Supercoach podcast, we can catch you at the Treasury Casino. You're that kind of guy. Fusatua or Mau Malo, those are two pods potentially that you could look to have some pretty big upside games throughout the season. Which one of those would you like to be betting on?
Probably not. I mean, Fusatua's had a couple of down seasons from Supercoach anyway, and the move to the centre's picked a little bit of interest, hasn't paid off so far. The price is right. But a guy like Ken Mamalo, he's currently 557K, break-even 114. He's going south. He's a guy I've definitely got the eye on, though, because you think he's had the same halves pairing or thereabouts all of last season, did a hell of a lot of work. It was a breakout year for him. Fell over the line now and again. That's what you want as a center wing, not at that price, but if I was a gambler, I'd be looking at this guy a few rounds in, just when everything's, the dust is settled, Warriors.
If you were a gambler, you were punting at Kalgoorlie last weekend, what are you talking about?
Winning it actually probably wasn't, but
it's not gambling when you're winning, is it, JT?
It's investing.
Yeah, thank you. The dividend is coming. But yeah,
how the baked beans this week?
It's a meager ring. Thank you, Spicy. Yeah, but Mamalo is too high price now, but I think he's a guy. He got to that price for a reason last season, so he's one I've definitely got the eye on. I'm going to pass on Fussy. I think there's better value there. But, yeah, I was just going to say, Anton, if Mamalo is at such a high price now, if you were to bring him in, what price would you be looking at for him? So basically 560 is assuming he's at basically the top of his game. How far do you think he can fall?
I think he can fall pretty far. Like if we continue to, you know, play the way that we are, and also, you know, the mental toll of being on the road and if that sort of proves to be too much for the Warriors, you know, we could get very, very big scores put on us week to week. So I'm a bit worried about how that's going to go, but I'd love to be proven wrong. I kind of think he could be a very handy kind of fifth center wing. So if it gets down to that kind of like 350, low 300s mark, he could be an astute sort of a trade down from someone who's maybe gone on a bit of a run, and you can pocket $100,000 and maybe trade down to him just to keep him for matchups on your reserve bench. Because he's always a chance of a double at any given game. So, he's just one of those kind of guys that he has the pedigree and he likes the work rate. So. Yeah, I don't have him in my top four centre wings, so I would sort of price him accordingly. I would probably get on in the low 300s.
Yep. Well, so he actually finished the year last year priced at 423,500. Started the year at 370, so there was a huge peak in the middle where he was around about 580 after he had a 74, 104, 52 and a 91, that crazy stretch. Then went on to have some more big scores after that with a 95 against the Eels and a 96 against the Sea Eagles as well before a really poor end to the season. So I think you're bang on there. And I think what he started the year, 570 now, but he finished the year at 420. So massive overs, I think, for what you're paying. I would seriously be looking at him if he falls anything under 450, I think. He's a great fifth centre wing, as what you've put in, a guy that you don't necessarily have to play every week, and price at that 350 to 450, I think he's worth a crack potentially.
Yeah, I agree.
So that was everything we were going to mention, JT and I, for the good, the bad, and the ugly outside of COVID-19, I guess, and the impact that's had on the Warriors. We can talk to that now, or we can maybe. Is there anyone else that we've missed that you want to quickly to run through as well?
Yeah, not really. I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of other Supercoach relevant players who are coming through apart from maybe watching out for Tavanga and to see what happens there, because he is coming back from surgery and that might ease his workload. So I could easily see him playing about 45 minutes a game to start with, and if he starts at that lock position, or bringing him on off the bench. If he's coming off the bench, you know, you can expect those minutes to drop and the price to drop, and he's quite a handy sort of dual position as well. So he could be your way up to a keeper at hooker if you were to swap out like a almost like a reserve hooker. Maybe you have like a Brayley or someone in that position. You could swap a cut priced player for at that point and use him to trade up to a keeper. So that's who I've got my eye on, but I think you know that's probably looking a bit further down the track.
Yeah, okay. Don't disagree there. Okay, let's jump into COVID-19. Then I mean that we've all been here working from home, isolating. The Australians, particularly in the NRL, are kind of complaining a little bit of having to maybe operate in a hub or whatever it was going to look like at a different point in time. But the poor worry is of they're another country away, and they've been the ones that have been impacted the most by all of this, particularly by the travel restrictions. And wouldn't just mind your impact on your thoughts on that impact and how that's going to potentially impact them going forward this year as well.
Yeah, it's funny seeing the discussion around it online, like especially over Twitter. There's a lot of people who are kind of like, oh yeah, it's really cool that the Warriors are doing this, but if they don't do it, they don't get paid. And you kind of go, yeah, but it's still hard. You know, that is the reality, but it is, the other teams don't have to do this. There are some players who are going to be doing the 14 day isolation three times. Like, so Jazz Tavanga, he flew to Australia with the intention of playing in round three, and Ignatius Parsi as well. They got to Australia, they locked themselves down with the intention of staying in Australia for when the competition reopened, and that didn't happen. So they flew back to New Zealand. They had to self-isolate again for like 14 days. And then now they're flying back to Australia again. So they're doing it again. Like mentally, that's it's a hard thing to do when you've got, you know, family to think about, not knowing whether you're coming or going. As I mentioned to you off air as well, I was just listening to a couple of videos by Cameron George and Steve Kearney, and they said that the scenes at the Auckland airport when the players left were pretty emotional, players crying. You know, you had all the kids not wanting to let go of their parents, and because they don't know when they're going to see each other again. They don't know whether they're going to be allowed back into the country. It's a pretty emotional time for everybody. But they changed the Tamworth airport to an international airport, which is, you know, that the whole thought of doing that for the sake of playing rugby league is just like, is insane when you think about that. You know, they had a police escort when they arrived in on the tarmac. They've got a completely locked down facility. They've already started training in circuits, so they'll have small groups that will go out and do field work, and then they'll move on and go somewhere else, and the next slot will come in. So it's pretty regimented, and the certainty of kind of going like, okay, we're here to do a job is cool. The fact that like they don't know whether they're coming or going with their families is pretty hard, but then other players are in that position as well. So they could respond one of two ways. It could be that they completely fall apart and they just don't have the mental strength to keep it together when they're really under the pump, just because you know, just mentally their heads aren't in it. Or it could be that the fact that they're forced to lock down and there's no distractions and all they're doing is eating and sleeping football all day long with all their teammates, focused on a task at hand, sort of going like, if we muck up this opportunity, then it's all for nothing. Like, we might as well make it count. We might as well really give it a good shake. There's a chance that they come out with that attitude as well, and then they, you know, they really surprise a few people in that first game back. So it's interesting to see how all the teams will come back from this. Like, I think the ones that have used their time in isolation in a positive way and kind of worked on the areas that they needed to address and also thought about how they're going to approach the game mentally, knowing that it's going to be viewed in a different way, the energy is going to be different, other teams will be approaching it differently. It could create opportunities for teams that maybe weren't in such a strong position beforehand. Maybe that momentum will shift. Maybe the Roosters or sides like that will suddenly hit their stride and go show their professionalism through what they've been doing off the field rather than the first 2 weeks on it.
So what's the deal now? Anyway, so I'm assuming that the Warriors are going to be basically playing all their home games here. Is that what's going to happen?
For the foreseeable future until they create like a bubble, which is something that's in conversation where they and only they are able to travel between the two countries. So it's a pipe dream at the moment, but it's something that they're hoping that they'll be able to do is play games at Mount Smart. But I think, you know, a lot of the teams are going to be playing away from their, certainly from their home bases where they usually train. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah. I mean, that does have an impact on those players that potentially as well have historically performed a lot better in New Zealand versus away. And some players, for whatever reason, have done that. I just had a quick look at Kemmer Mallow's stats from last year, and he actually, I was surprised. I think he averaged 61 points per game at home and then 58 or 59 points away. So he's a pretty consistent player no matter what, but there might be some other guys in the Warriors side that you want to have a bit of a look at to see who really does stink it up away from home and who finds another gear at Mount Smart Stadium, because they're not going to be playing too many games there this year, and that home field advantage is really going to kind of disappear. And it has historically been, if you're looking like maybe a Sean Johnson, he's no longer there, obviously, but a player like him from memory really performed a lot better when he was at home. JT, any thoughts on this before we look to wrap it up?
No, I mean, I think I said it from the start. They're now everyone's second favourite team, and that's for good reason. I think as a fan, you've got a lot to be proud of. Basically saved rugby league, which is no small feat. It's a big sacrifice that they're making. You saw the outpouring of things like I think it was a $10 membership or something like that for people based in Australia and people jumping on that. But even just had a thought as we were talking there, what about teams, given the Warriors are sacrificing so many home games this season, what about teams taking games over to New Zealand, like the Bulldogs do, like I think Manly do, and a few others, making that more of a regular thing next season as a way to give back to both the Warriors and New Zealand rugby league as a whole. So I'd love to see that sort of stuff. But I think they've shown the tight-knit nature of the rugby league community. So I'll be cheering the Warriors on every game they're not playing the Cowboys. But yeah. I really hope they do well. Would love a documentary crew to be following this as well. Just think of some of the trains you're getting, mate. It would be a fantastic watch.
You're such a tearjerker, JT. It's always so emotional with you, isn't it?
Mate, just rugby league fan that wants his game back and can't thank the Warriors enough.
They've saved rugby league, the Warriors.
Let's gone Warriors, mate.
All right. Well, I think that's everything for the podcast. We've spent 50 minutes purely on the Warriors tonight, Anton. I think you've got everything that you wanted and maybe some more with some bad pronunciations by us and all the other Warriors fans out there. I mean, you're definitely the smartest, best-looking Kiwi that's ever been on this podcast before. Shout out to Nick. Well, we've got a bit of a tradition on the SC report as well, so the guest does send us out with a bit of a tune. JT and I have selected for you tonight A Slice of Heaven by Dave Dobbins. So can you close the podcast, please, for us by just singing a little bit of Slice of Heaven?
Mate, I'm going to give him my best shot. What do you think?
Oh, that was fantastic. And thanks for not joining in, JT.
Yeah, baritone there. It was a really manly voice.
Thanks for being a fantastic sport, Anton. It's been great to have you on, and hopefully we can get you on again soon, not just to talk about the Warriors, but also just to cover the NRL in general or Supercoach when we do get kicking off again throughout the year. I know that JT is always looking for someone that he can have a chat to that's not me. So get you back on, mate. Thank you very much for that. Really, really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, boys. Lovely talking to you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.